This week's guest on The Scarlet Edit is a woman who I met through TikTok. I reached out to her and I said, hey, I think that you would be a fantastic guest on my podcast. We had an intro meeting. We totally hit it off. She is just one of those people where when you look in her eyes and you feel her energy, even through a screen, you know that this is a determined woman. You know that this woman is going somewhere and that she is not only going to change her life, she's going to change other people's lives along the way. I specifically decided to put it out right before Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. It is a time for reflection, for gratitude, and definitely for some good food. But I wanted to put out an episode where all of you listening felt hope, where all of you listening felt inspired, where all of you listening felt like me at the end of this conversation, in that you're cheering so hard for this woman because she is on her way to the top. So, Melise, thank you so much for being a guest on my show. And everyone who's listening, I hope you enjoy. Well, I'm so excited that you were open to coming on and talking with me.
Thank you.
I so believe that things happen as they're meant to. One of my friends who has just gotten out of a very awful marriage and living situation, her algorithm had given her your video and she sent it to me. It was like 10:30 at night. And she said, you need to have this girl on your podcast. And so I watched that video and I started reading the comments. And there were so many people who were just taken by your words, but also telling you like you should write or you should speak. You need to do these things because the way you describe the situation, it was like I could envision it in my head. And as I've gone back and watched it, because I wanted to be very prepared for our conversation today. You know, the more it's like, I feel like I was sitting there with you observing this family. So you do have such a gift for the spoken word, and which I'm sure would translate into writing as well.
Yeah, I do. I have been writing my deepest thoughts. It's kind of scatterbrained. It's not something I can sit down and just type. You know, these are, my mind kind of goes through a pipeline, and that moment was so significant to me. It was like the sun was glowing against them, and it made me realize that I do live a life of serving people. And after I'd been healing for so long, I want that. Not just, I do want the safety of a man eventually, but I have put myself in my own safe space that I want to be served. I have a feeling that I deserve to be served. You know, whether I wear Armani glasses or smoke a cigarette and act like nobody cares or not, like I want to be on the other side because yeah. I'm rich with myself. You know, I'm tired of seeing wealth as a barrier for abundance and relaxation and peace, you know?
I love that. That is so, I mean, that just there, that is such a beautiful statement. And so we can take a couple of steps back for people who are listening, because I think this is such a great way to start our conversation. You had posted a video about watching a family that was sitting by the pool at the resort that you work at. And I wrote down a couple of things because I just was so taken by it. But you talked about how the dad was on calls every day and sounding like he's running a business. And you talked about the mom just having this like carefree vibe and that she was just light and like not only gorgeous in her physical appearance, but just gorgeous in her energy. And you talked about how she was just like so present and enjoying her children. And then you mused upon like, what choices did she make to earn that life? And I thought it was so interesting that you said earn. I'm curious because like we all make choices every day, right? And a lot of our choices are determined by our own feelings and our own self-worth at the time that we're making them. And so I was just, again, is so intrigued by your words. But what I loved is that by the end of that video, it was like this fire just it was like it started smoldering and then it just started raging by the end because you were like, no, like I know I can have this and I know that I want to change the life that I have, you know, seen around me with my family and how choices have been made, that you want to make different choices. And that is kind of the whole like point of this podcast, The Scarlet Edit, is that I believe that regardless of our past, regardless of choices that we have made, those do not define our future. If we choose to walk a different path, choose better for ourselves, want better for ourselves.
Right. And I love how you emphasized that I said earn. Mm-hmm. Since that video, I've had a lot of time to reflect, and I've also been searching for my femininity. When I think about what I said and earning it, I dissect it, why do I think I need to earn it? Mm-hmm. What happened in my life to make me think that I'm not deserving of it? You know, just being myself, just being a woman who has something to offer, which is support, love, care, nurture, you know. Us women are born with this power to serve and cater with just in abundance, and things happen in our life that makes us think that we don't deserve it. So I'm not really thinking about what choices I need to make to earn that, but what choices I need to make to believe I deserve it.
That's such a great moment of like self-reflection and introspection, because ultimately we're all so responsible for ourselves and we're so in charge. I mean, I so strongly believe that happiness is a choice and that we are in charge of our feelings and emotions and how we react and respond to life. But I think it boils down to really getting to know ourselves on a very deep level to understand what it is that we want and what it is that we think that we deserve. And sometimes that starts with figuring out with what we don't want.
Yes.
Because sometimes that is like the biggest part. It's like you get to a point where you're like, okay, I know I don't want this. I don't necessarily know what I do want, but I know right. I don't want this.
Right. And unfortunately, a lot of women have to go through abuse, have to go through narcissism to really realize what they don't want, what life isn't supposed to be. And so even though you have this unknown of what it can be and what a good relationship is, you know that you're not willing to accept anything less than what makes you feel alive.
So what do you think sparked, or what was the tipping point for you to start having these realizations and acknowledgement that you can have more, that you deserve more?
It was more of a feeling. It was more of a feeling. I've always kind of felt like I wasn't who I was supposed to be, physically, mentally, emotionally. Something was wrong all the time. And it got to a point with the narcissism and the abuse that I experienced with my last relationship. It got to a point where like I was angry about this feeling. Like, this is not right, you know? And it wasn't until after I left that I realized this was something I had to figure out. And that was 2.5 years ago. And I truly didn't start, you know, on this journey until I spoke my truth, until I was authentic in having my story come out with my last ex. I overpowered what had happened to me, and I have flourished in the last 5 months emotionally and mentally. And, you know, I don't connect my richness with monetary value, just yeah. in that overcoming that feeling, overcoming that obstacle of I can't, or I don't deserve it.
Love hearing you say that, because I can see the spark in your eyes and I can feel your energy through the screen. And, you know, we're connected obviously on social media, and I see your posts and when you talk about things, and I'm just like, yes, like I love this energy. And I can see your self-worth just continuing to blossom and getting to a point where you're like, no, I fucking deserve what I want, and I am going to make the life for myself that I know I am capable of.
It's an ever-growing mindset. And like a few days ago, I felt this vibration, this frequency, and it truly had me just beside myself. And I said, maybe I'm just having a fleeting emotion. And the next day, I still felt this vibration. And even still, like, I feel like I'm advancing. This mindset is ever growing. Once you tap into that feminine power, once you tap into this sense of self that you're so sure of, that is unmatched against narcissism and abuse, it will take you every single day so much farther. And you know, I can't regret anything that happened in my life because it has brought me to this point. I truly don't believe I would have stepped into this power if I didn't go through that. And it was very hard, but this is worth it. And then that's not to say to continue in a narcissist relationship, but it's to give women hope that there is life on the other side, because I know that what that's like. I know when you're just in the midst of it, you're being abused, you look in the mirror and you're like, this, I have nothing. I'm not worth it. Like there's hope. I was that, and now I'm not. And I'm so much more than I ever thought I could just be functional, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, you know, I've never put myself out on the internet. And a lot of that has also been, you know, people, the abuse that I've experienced in my life. I'm irrelevant. I don't know what I'm talking about. Ever since I've been posting on social media and looking back and editing and having to see myself, it truly is some kind of exposure therapy. It truly contributes to me advancing in my life, because when I speak, when I hear myself, when I hear my intention and I analyze it and know that it's true, it's authentic, I'm laying the foundation, I'm setting the stone. And so it truly has been a blessing to be able to freely and willingly put myself out there, despite, you know, it being quality content. People have got the, you know, just the bells and whistles and fancy. If people want to listen, they will. If people need a message and you resonate, they will sit and they'll listen. You know, we don't have to be, you know, like one of these million follower people, whatever. We're just women. Absolutely. With a story. We're women with a purpose. I want to protect women.
Oh my God. I swear, this is just so awesome hearing you say these words, because I feel so similarly. One of the things that you said a few minutes ago that really, really resonates with me is that you have no regrets, and you know that you wouldn't be you, who you are, sitting here right here today, had you not experienced everything that you have been through up until now. And I think that that is incredibly important. I mean, I often get asked that when I'm on podcasts as a guest. The host will 9 times out of 10 say to me, oh, well, like, do you regret being the other woman? And my answer is always no. I don't regret it at all, because I wouldn't be me today right here. And I love me today. And I'm really proud of all the work that I've done to get to this version of me. And if I were to regret something from my past, I don't know that I would be this version of me. I might be a different version, and maybe I wouldn't like her as much.
Right.
So I can't sit there and say, I wish I would have chose differently. You know, I mean, I think regrets are not important, and they're not valuable. I mean, maybe I'll regret like not having dessert. You know, I saw this great video the other day, and it was like, do you remember what dress size so-and-so wore? Or do you remember what kind of manicure so-and-so had? And it was talking about all these, you know, super successful women who have like changed the world. And it's like, no, of course not. Like, so like, why are we being so hard on ourselves for like little things? Like, let's remember the things that matter at the end of the day, when someone has found their purpose, found their power, found their self-worth, and is out contributing to the world.
Right. And I think, you know, I think a big thing to truly realize that you can't regret something so awful happening to you is finding accountability in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't take even half the accountability, but when I reflected and I looked back, I see my accountability in the fact that I had a choice to stay or leave at any moment in time, and I didn't. But other than that, it's like, how much of my truth and how much light can I stand in if I don't own where I fell short? You know, I don't deserve the abuse and the narcissism that I experienced. However, I see where I was at fault in betraying myself, not being true to myself.
That's such an interesting way to put it. And I don't know that everybody has that viewpoint or looks at it from that lens, like, how did I betray myself in this situation and who I am and who I want to be? So question for you, what was it that finally made you say, no more of this?
One of my favorite quotes is, when the fear of the unknown outweighs the pain of your current reality, that's when change happens. It was something, it was do or die. I had to do it. I was so comfortable in living a life that was so suppressed. And it got to the point where I was one night, I don't even think it was night. I would wake up and I would take melatonin to go back to sleep. I'd be awake for about an hour or two. And then I'd take more melatonin around 2 p.m. And it was the second time I took melatonin to sleep that the sun was coming through the window. It was late afternoon and early afternoon. And I remember biting the pillow, wanting to end my life so bad. Gut-wrenching, just ideation. I think I went for a drive the next day. I finally fell asleep. I went for a drive the next day, and I realized I'm too much of a coward to end this life. And this life is so miserable that I can't continue living it. So it's like, what do I do? I got to be brave. I've got to find some kind of courage. It wasn't anything but my own desire to be okay. Not even to live in abundance, just be okay. Like, there was something in me that said, life shouldn't be this hard. Life is hard, but it shouldn't cripple me to the point where I need to claw at the bed sheets and wishing it would end, you know?
Wow. And then you left?
I left. It was like, all of me felt, most of me felt like I had to stay, and all of me knew I couldn't. It was one of those things where it was a risk. And I had, you know, through narcissism, a narcissist they'll push and pull. You'll finally have enough. You'll leave. They'll come back, love bomb, and you'll come back. And it's the same thing. And it's a cycle. And I had gone through the cycle so many times. It was like, I know what's waiting for me if I stay. Maybe I don't know what's waiting for me if I leave, but damn, I can't do this again, you know?
So how long were you with him?
I was with him for 8 years.
Whoa.
I will say that, you know, there are different types of narcissists. And the one that I dealt with was a covert narcissist.
Okay.
In little things, manipulation, the difference, and you know, our traditional definition of narcissism is a person with an inflated sense of self, this grandiose, in your face, boastful, and then there's covert. It's like they need to manipulate, they need to love bomb, they need to be passive aggressive. It's all so subtle, you know. Someone on the outside of that relationship can't really tell, but you experience all of it. You know, they need to hurt someone to fuel that ego. And so they're never that full, grandiose, everybody knows it, jerk. They are in the shadows.
Wow. So did this behavior from him begin? I mean, how long were you with him before this behavior started?
It was right out the gate. So we started talking, and 2 weeks in, he would come over to my house. And another thing narcissists love to do is withhold sex, withhold intimacy. He said when we met that he didn't like to have sex with women right away, which was fine. I thought it was endearing. I thought it was wonderful. And then about 2 weeks in, you know, he would stay over at my house, and we fell asleep one night, and I woke up and he was gone, disappeared. didn't hear from him for 3 days, but I had already fallen so deeply in love with him that I went to his house and was like, hey, I know you said you don't want anything, but like, I need a little bit of closure. And he just reiterated he doesn't want anything serious. And when he realized that I would chase him is when he came back harder. And, you know, 3 months later, it was the same thing. Another 3 months, it was the same thing. And it was just this cycle. But what kept me going back was the hit of dopamine and serotonin that I would get from the initial come back, I love you. And when you go through childhood trauma and you spend your whole life trying to earn love, it's like, I earned it. I did this. This is the only love I know.
There's that word again.
Right. Love. Yeah.
No, yeah. Earn.
Oh, this is the only love I know. How can I earn it?
Yeah. So that's interesting feeling, like interesting that somewhere along the way you felt like love was something that you had to earn instead of something that you just deserved as a great human being.
Right. Divinely feminine. I see narcissism as a war against femininity. I truly do. Since the beginning of time, men have had this ownership of women. And now I've never thought I'd be a woman to be so engulfed in feminine power and femininity, mostly because I was put down by men and I always tried to earn a man's attention. But truly, our power lies within ourselves. And what is it about a man that completely makes us disregard who we are, ourselves? What I look at them and I try to figure it out. Is it the beard? Is it the biceps? I'm like, what is it? And I've gotten to a place where they're all a little bit ugly unless they can treat me with respect.
Oh, thank you. Say that again. Amen. You know, it is as you're saying all of this, I'm thinking to myself, also, it's like, what is it that happens in our minds when we meet someone? And it's like, it's almost like we can forget who we are. And it's like, we want them to want us so badly. And I know that one of the things I've worked really hard on for myself is, okay, if I meet somebody and I think they're really great, well, why are they deserving of my time? Like, I'm not going to put you on a pedestal right away before I even know you. You need to show me, like, why are you deserving of my time and my energy and my body and all of the greatness that I am?
Right. And in that video, I say, how can we change the societal standards of men? I don't think we can. I have completely switched my focus on the societal standards of men and the societal standards of what women are willing to accept. We need to take our power back because men have become so comfortable in using us as what can we bring to the table. It's such a normalized mindset. And so how can we change the societal standards of men when we take into account what women are willing to accept in society from men? When we step into our power, we have this innate ability to raise children with these standards that are unmatched against the way it's been for years and years and years. You know, women who step into their power can raise strong, respectable men, and women who step into their power can raise strong women with standards, with a sense of self.
Yes, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
It's so tough because, you know, we're in this environment, right? Where there's one swipe away, there's somebody else. And it's like always like, oh, well, this is great, but what's better? This is great, but what's better? And I think it's just given, it's created a culture of like nobody wanting to put in that much effort. I mean, I see some videos sometimes where people are just rude to people in person. People are rude to people on dates. Like, it's like people are expecting things that you shouldn't expect when you just meet somebody right away. And I'm saddened by it because I feel like we all deserve more, like men and women. We all deserve more when we're out there. But it's like we also need to hold ourselves to some level of standards and as to just be a good person.
Right.
And want to treat people with kindness and with respect and not act like they owe you something right off the bat.
Right. And I think that the instant gratification people get from what's next, that can also connect to earning that sense of earning that gratification instead of it being instant. There's so much more gratification when it comes to earning that. And I don't, in the right way, earning it mm-hmm. in the right way.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I like the word earn. Don't get me wrong. I just found it interesting that you were using it in these specific situations. But I do think, I mean, nothing worth having comes easy. You know, you want a more fit or slim body, you have to put in the work. You want a bigger bank account, you have to work and figure out how to earn more money. You know, you want different things in life, like it comes with hard work and consistency and discipline and drive. And like going back to the instant gratification, I mean, it's like we have people who think that they can just like start doing something on a Monday and by Friday, they're going to be the next best influencer or the next millionaire or the next whatever. And it's like, it doesn't happen that fast. There's so much time, trial, energy, effort, failure, picking yourself back up, doing things again. So, you know, I think, you know, you want to earn all of these things in life. But I do think as far as like relationships are concerned, how do we discuss what are we earning in relationships? I'm genuinely asking, like, how can we frame this, but using that word in a way that makes a whole lot of sense?
This week's episode of The Scarlet Edit is brought to you by Open Voices. Open Voices is an app where everyday people who've lived it host short, real conversations about dating, heartbreak, healing, and everything in between. They're called replays, and listening to them feels like sitting in on the honest conversations we all wish we had access to. I am lucky enough to know the founders of Open Voices. Stacey and Jess are incredible women who have both independently overcome so much. I have loved being a part of Open Voices since this summer, and I am a huge believer in what they are building. Check out Open Voices. It's available on the App Store. Let's get back to the episode.
I think because the word could be used in okay, I need to earn this from a place of earning my worth, or I need to earn this from a place of so I can truly enjoy it. And I think in a relationship, what are we earning? A genuine satisfaction from seeing another person happy. I think a lot of people get into relationships to have somebody. What can they do for me? What can they make me feel? You know, even on the side of women, I think, you know, I never thought of myself as being someone who selfishly wants love, but I had to dissect what about me will make someone love me, my desire for them to love me, you know. And then true love is seeing somebody else happy.
Yeah.
Companionship, partnership, to go on a percentage of what I can't give that day. You know, I think I had a hard day the other day. I feel this power to conquer things. But it was the other day where I was just like, oh, man, I can't. And I thought for a second, if I just had a partner, maybe they can carry me the rest of the way and the rest of the day. And
yeah.
I didn't. And it was like, damn, you know. But that's okay mm-hmm. because I'm still building myself to be a person who's worthy of someone else's love and care. For a person who looks at me and wants to give me that safety, wants to give me that peace of mind. Safety, that's what I'm earning in a relationship. I want to be safe. I want to feel comfortable in being myself every single day. I want a cheerleader, and I want to be a cheerleader for somebody else. because there's nothing more powerful than a dynamic couple, than two people who just want to conquer the world and they want to hold somebody's hand while they do it.
Oh my God, that was like so beautifully said. Yes, yes to all of it. To having, I so believe in that couple. And God, I can so relate to the feeling of having one of those days. You know, I mean, I've been single now for almost 4 years. And I mean, I love it. Like, I love the life that I've built. I love everything that I'm doing. I'm so grateful that I get to do all of the things that I do. But I would be lying if I said I didn't have moments where I see, you know, a video of another couple and like they went to Costco and I'm like, man, I can't wait to have someone to go to Costco with. And it's, you know, it's those little things. It's not like you were saying, it's not always like this, like, oh, I need this like financial abundance. It's like abundance comes in so many forms. And right. It's like having someone that just wants to like hold your hand and like walk across the street and who's going to push the cart at Costco because you got toilet paper and paper towels and 10 pounds of meat on this trip or whatever it may be, you know, it's like, right. It's those little things. And right. I think the safety piece is super important, you know, having somebody that you know has your back and that you know isn't going to let anything bad happen to you and that's going to stand up for you, whether it's in a physical situation, an emotional situation, even just a conversation, that person's always got you.
Right. I think it's also important because it is scary. Being single is scary for a woman. If we go back to the beginning of time, women were supposed to be protected by men. And so I know it can be a little bit scary for women to think about themselves being single, like they're scared to be alone, but there's something so empowering being at Costco, pushing the cart by yourself with your head held high. 10 pounds.
Oh my gosh. Yes. No, I mean, it is true. Like, I do love being able to take care of myself. I love that I'm like, no, I'm the one that's got me right now.
Right.
You know, but but it doesn't change the fact that, yes, like I do want someone to do life with and a partner to enjoy the little things with. And so, but I think that the value that keeps me going is continuing to work on all the things that bring me joy and to work on all the things that I'm able to give out into the world and to continue to refine and raise my standards where I know what value I bring. So it makes it easier to enforce those boundaries when somebody does come along and tries to like penetrate the force field.
Right. And that's how we earn it. That's how we earn mm-hmm. that love. That's how we earn that safety, is by loving ourselves first. And yeah. Going through abuse and narcissism, it's like I got to a point where I was like, okay, if no one's going to love me, maybe I have to love myself. It was me being so angry that I'm in charge of this. Not only that, not only am I in charge of loving myself, I'm in charge of fixing what someone else broke. I'm working double time around the clock. My hands are calloused and I'm full of rage, but I'm earning it.
Yeah. I think there's nothing more powerful than a woman who's finally fucking had it and says, you know what? I am going to go and make myself happy. And I am done with all of this bullshit. I have seen it happen. I have had moments myself. And when a woman makes that decision, it's like, shit, watch out, world.
She's unstoppable. Hell hath no fury more than a woman's rage.
Yeah.
And it's unmatched.
So you said that you have left your ex 2.5 years ago, but the last 5 months have been really transformative for you.
Yes.
What do you think happened 5 months ago that you felt this change really start coming for you?
So, after I left, it's not instant. The disconnection from a narcissist, it never is. And so I truly, truly wanted to believe that this was just another, this was it, this was the last time. And I did stay in contact with him for, I left in May of 2023, and I stayed in constant contact with him since until December of 2023. He painted this picture of he's getting everything figured out. He's going to therapy. He's medicated. He's doing so great. He's the single dad, and he's not dating. He promised me he wasn't dating. And then his daughter had sent me a picture, and in the background was a woman's foot. And it was like I was still in the relationship, and I was experiencing another push pull from him. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And I had to let it go. I truly had to put it on the back burner because I still was attached. And he would call me every once in a while. He would email me, send me money. Sometimes he kept on. He pretended that that girl was just, you know, a date. Turns out 3 weeks after I left, he proceeded to engage in a long-term relationship. He went straight to another woman, and while trying to get me back, was doing the same exact thing to her, which not only was it covert narcissism, he was down low. So, which means he is gay. He just cannot accept himself. And so he uses a woman as a cover. And so, Jeez. Yeah, it was awful. And so she had contacted me in April of this year. And she wanted closure because she didn't understand what was going on. He was doing the same behaviors. And I told her everything that happened. And she told me the actual story that was true rather than what he was feeding me for 2 years. And it upset me. It upset me that he was hurting someone. It upset me in so many different ways. And then, you know, we stayed in contact, me and his ex-girlfriend. We stayed in contact and we would talk for hours on the phone. And one day, about 2 weeks after she had contacted me initially, one day she called me and she said, Melise, I met up with him and I had lunch. And she said they got into an argument and that she had found herself fighting my battles for me. And she brought up the down low thing. And he admitted to doing that, to still doing it. And that was it. That was it. That was the moment where I was going to tell my truth. I was going to speak it. I had to do something. I emailed his daddy about his daughter for her safety, and I waited a week. I had this idea to put it on TikTok, but I didn't. It was my last resort because also what comes from that is potential lawsuits. Mm. So I wasn't sure, but I didn't hear anything about his daughter's safety, and no one contacted me. So I did it. I outed him because I realized that just the letter, you know, he is so good at manipulation that it was like, I had to come out and say it. I had to come out and speak my truth. And I said accountability in the beginning. I had to say the ugly parts of what I did, you know, out of provocation from the narcissism. It wasn't until I stepped into that power, that authenticity, that I let it go. It was so heavy. It was so heavy carrying that. And that goes back to that exposure therapy. Mm-hmm. I went from the beginning to the end, and it truly healed me.
Isn't that so interesting? I mean, I can relate to that. Obviously, my situation is different, but I can relate to that so much because when I decided to start this podcast, I had felt like the relationship that I had been in was kind of standing in my way of really putting myself out into the world, really creating the community that I want to create, really just like being my authentic self as far as how am I going to make like an impact in the world. And so I had been playing around with some different ideas of like, you know, should I go and speak at like women's events and conferences and talk about, you know, being the other woman from like these different lenses and these different perspectives. And all the while, though, I had a different podcast. And then one day it was like everything clicked. And I thought, what if I switched my podcast and I started talking about relationships and I kick it off talking about my own relationship? Now, my family knew about that relationship. My closest friends knew about that relationship. It wasn't something that was completely in the dark to everybody in my life. So because all of the people closest to me not only knew, but had met him, had, you know, spent time with him, despite his situation and all the ways that I justified, you know, that it was totally fine and normal, I still like, so by putting all of that out there, I wasn't thinking how it would make me feel. I mean, I certainly was nervous because, I mean, God, the day the first episode went live, I was in Europe. So when it went live in the US and people started waking up and like seeing my marketing about it and I started seeing downloads and I was just sitting there just drinking because I was like, I am so nervous for this. But after a few days, what I realized was that I felt free. So I can relate to what you're saying by sharing this story from start to finish, sharing what you went through, what your life was like, and that weight leaving your shoulders. And it's like, until it leaves, you don't even know what it is that you're carrying in most cases. I had no idea I was going to feel so free. That was the most unexpected yet welcome feeling, but it really shocked the hell out of me.
Right. I experienced the same thing. Like there was no indication that this was something I had to do. It was just a feeling that I had to get rid of. It was almost like I was born for this. It's almost like I am the catalyst for starting, for you too, or the catalyst for starting this, what's the word? Appearance, I guess, this bringing to light what truly impacts our ability. What truly impacts our ability to invest in relationships and find companionship. Because you also know that the people are having less and less intimate relationships. Women are choosing to be single. Mm-hmm. And letting go of this, even though, like you said, it wasn't anything that I thought would help. And I also found that after I let it all out and after I analyzed it and spoke my truth, let go of that weight, I was forgetting things that happened in the beginning. It was almost like, okay, you've let it go. You've dumped it all out. Now here's room for what you're truly meant for.
Yeah. It's so great. It's so great. I'm so happy for you and I'm so proud of you and I'm so excited for you. So tell me, where do you see yourself in another 5 months as you've kept this adventure going? Where are your eyes pointed at?
A lot.
Good.
A lot. I've had so much uncertainty since I left that relationship just because I'd never been on my own. I had never had this state of mind that I could do it. I just knew I was facing so many unknowns that it was like one step in front of the other. And so I have found myself, after I took that step in May of exposing my abuser, I've found myself just, it's almost like I'm amping up to go so far in that relationship. I had gone to beauty school and I wanted to be a makeup artist, a hairstylist. And because of that relationship, I'd suffered from imposter syndrome. I put everything down. I stopped doing my makeup. I stopped everything I loved. I let go of him. I let go of everything he ever did to me. And all of a sudden, I've got this desire to do makeup again. I have this surety. That I can put a brush to someone's face and absolutely kill that look. And I want to do that. Yeah. Since I've been working at this resort, I realized, and after I saw that family, I realized I'm done serving people. I've served people my whole life in desperation for them to choose me, for them to think I'm worth having around. And then I go to serving people, clocking in, doing it for money. I don't want to have to clock in and serve people for money. I don't want to serve people in my personal life. I want to be successful. I want to be sitting on that couch with Armani sunglasses and I want to be smoking a cigarette. I was talking to another guest. It was two guys. They were just good friends. It was about a week ago, honestly. And they found me very interesting. They pulled me away from the counter and they said, come sit down, sit with us. And they were like, tell us who you are. And I told them, I explained, and they're from California. I don't know these men. I don't know what they did, but I tell them I went to beauty school and I don't know what I'm going to do. I have these possibilities. And one of them looked at me and said, Melise, find where opportunity meets your passion.
Yeah.
And I had put makeup down. I had put makeup down, discarded it. And when the word passion came out of his mouth, I saw makeup. I saw me doing makeup. And I said, that's it. And I didn't say that in that moment. I went home and I thought about it. And I still feel resistance of getting in front of somebody and doing their makeup. But I recently saw a podcast of a man talking about when you feel resistance doing something that you need to do, you need to do it.
Yes.
And so my plan after this is to never work for somebody else, but to be successful in my passion, to go to that opportunity. I'm not even thinking, I do think about the future, but in the forefront of my brain, I'm not thinking that far ahead. All I need to do right now is to seize that opportunity and to take my passion and to stand on it and to benefit from it and to truly be who I always knew I could be. And I want to be a makeup artist.
You are so amazing. I am so grateful that we know each other. I am so grateful for all that you have shared. I mean, I just think that you are, you know, when we were DMing the other day and I mentioned the Chinese bamboo plant, it's like, yeah, that is you. You are at that top soil about to have this massive growth. And I am so excited that I get to be a part of your world as you go after it.
Are you kidding me? I'm so excited to be a part of your world because you're also a bamboo tree. We are women with a story and a purpose with this passion to help other women find themselves, to overcome narcissism and abuse and to be who they're truly meant to be, to find the power and femininity that we were born with.
Yeah.
It's inside of you. That woman, that goddess is inside of you. And all you got to do is find. Yeah.
Yes. Girl, you are so awesome. This was so amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for having me.
Let everybody know how they can reach you if they want to follow along your journey.
Yes, please. So my name is Melise. My name on TikTok is Maniclise. It's Maniclise. Yeah, just DM me, comment on one of my videos. And if you need help, if you need encouragement, please message me. I do my best to get back to women who need encouragement, who need guidance.
Well, and you certainly have the most beautiful words. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Nikki.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Scarlet Edit. As always, I appreciate you being here so much and for coming back week over week to listen to the conversations that I am putting out into the world. If you have not already, I would absolutely love it if you went to Apple and rated this episode 5 stars. And if you have a comment to share, that would be so welcome as well. If you haven't already subscribed to my YouTube channel, it's at The Scarlet Edit. I would love for a follow on there because it's a fun place to hang, and I really enjoy creating audio and video content for all of you. So thank you always for being here, and we will see you next week.